G'day, moving on quickly, aren't we, Annie? G'day, how are you and all of your listeners? I hope you're well.
Yeah, it's very cold over here, but you're in Tasmania, so it's probably cold all the time.
Yes, it is nippy here right now. I'm very pleased to be inside.
We're going to talk about what needs to be done around groups that are left of Labor in the Greens.
Well, because we've spent a whole lot of time today on the radio program highlighting the problems with Labor's policies and the policies of the government as of now. So now we've got to highlight the solutions and how to critique them properly. That's why we've got you on, Don.
Yes, well, I think the somewhat mercurial rise of One Nation and associated with that, the attraction to far-right organisations that is going on in some segments of the working class has to be taken seriously. And it's good, I think, that there is a variety of commentary and analysis about that, including, of course, from various socialist perspectives. But I think the big question for me is not so much what all of this means as far as One Nation is concerned and so on, but really, what does it all tell us about the left, to the left of the Labor Party, and the Greens, the socialist, if you like, the socialist left, small s, small l. And it's interesting that this weekend, the Search Foundation, not a political party, but a socialist, a pro-socialist, eco-socialist organisation, is starting off its tour of the American socialist practitioner and thinker and so on, Bhaskar Sankara. And at the same time, a couple of other socialist parties and their friends have either not long ago held or soon in the future are going to hold conferences that include socialist strategy. Now, I think the distinctive feature, what all the Australian socialist organisations have in common, is that quite dangerously, they all think that theirs is the one true way. And so we do not see, what we see is fragmentation, and associated with that, an ongoing irrelevance for socialist ideas in the working class.
But some of the core elements that the different socialist groups have, they have in common, don't they?
Yes, well, I think it's fair to say that all of them see, although maybe with different detail, that capitalism and its current very shaky United States imperial form is a dead end for both nature and the humans who live within it. And so there has to be an alternative, and that 21st century socialism, which must by necessity have some things in common, but there it be also somewhat radically different from 20th century socialism. And those things they seem to have in common. Not all of them, but just about all of them also have in common the use of very doctrinaire language. And there is this...
Oh, I was actually thinking more positively of, you know, they actually stand for human rights, for example, which seems to be low on the list of capitalist society these days.
Yes, and they share generally not just a commitment to human rights and freedom of expression, they also situate that in identifying the commonality feature of human rights that are associated with exploitation, and not just of discrimination. They go beyond discrimination, which is particular, has particular forms, to exploitation, in which all those who are discriminated against tend to be exploited as well. They have that in common. So there are certain characteristics of that socialist left in Australia that are, in general, shared. But what is not shared is sort of, if you like, how progress can be made so that socialist momentum begins to happen. And that's why the best you see minor improvements here and there, but never for a long, long time, the momentum that is necessary for the future of nature and humanity. And that's what I'm interested in. How in Australia do we build momentum against fragmentation of socialist practice and towards a growing momentum that in overcoming fragmentation starts to make sense and is becomes more powerfully supportive.
Coordinates positive change.
Beg your pardon?
Coordinates positive change.
Yeah, it has to be positive. Of course it does. It must be rooted in alternative proposals to the dynamic of the system. And but above all, it's got to make sense to those workers who are struggling right now.
I'm interested in the past proposals as well. So, to reckon, I'm interested in the past proposals as well. Like, so where in the history of the, you know, Australian labour movement has there been a socialist momentum, and how to glean some of the lessons from that past and bring them into the future? Yeah, like continuing a conversation we had a few weeks ago about the types of political education that the union movement was running, what are the actual strategies that we can implement from history that you've identified that we can bring into this century and utilise?
Well, certainly, I mean, I've been active in the socialist left since about 1974, and there has been a socialist presence that has been very positive in various movements during that period. But to be honest, when we must be honest about it, there has not been a socialist momentum that has grown in the sense of, say, the way in which the right wing is gaining its momentum at the moment. Now, the first, I think that the first and most important thing to do is for us to conceive how we break out of the fragmentation and start talking about it, if only in small groups. But ultimately, where that's got to go is towards a national conference of the left. I think there is, I don't know how long it is between now and when that might happen. That would depend on a lot of thinking. But I emphasise, to not work in that direction is self-indulgent and does not solve any of the major problems. It does not deal with any of the primary crises that working class people confront that are caused by capitalism and, to some extent, capitalist individuals and organisations.
You know, it's interesting because quite often there are cause célèbre, like, for example, the Palestinian issue, which is huge on a whole lot of levels. But I notice that quite often that the political arms of socialist organisations often think that these kind of cause célèbres are going to be the spark for this kind of push towards a communal, perhaps a national conference of the left, effectively, which they think that the actual individual issue is going to be the thing that determines the approach towards positive change. Can you reflect on that?
Well, I think that's a very fair critique. Of course, the practice of international solidarity in the context of what's happening in Palestine is an essential ingredient of socialism in its history, and something that we should all be very proud of, and it's something that we need to maintain. And there are various sites, and Palestine is one of the, and what's happening to the Palestinian people is one of the most important. But it is also true that your point about how elements, not all, but some elements of the left move from one point of struggle, if you like, of international solidarity to another, as if that's going to be, and I'm putting it a bit crudely, a silver bullet that will generate some sort of momentum. We should not kid ourselves that that's exactly what happens, even though, of course, we should pursue that solidarity work to the best of our ability. And, of course, there are various sites around the world in which that...
Well, how do you think that you could activate a broader socialist conception that is a significant challenge to the capitalist system?
Well, there are various ingredients of socialism that mark it out from just fixing up capitalism at one point and then another and so on. And that is, of course, that the deliberate intent is to arrive at a society in which the working class majority democratically runs the society, and to do that on the basis of common or public ownership. Along the way, that means also tackling the various forms of identity discriminations, and of course, most fundamentally, stopping the destruction of nature and rescuing it and restoring it. So that's a distinctive thing. So step one, I think for anyone who sees themselves as a socialist to the left of the Labor Party and the Greens, is to work out just how self-indulgent and irrelevant the individual and sect-like socialist practice in Australia is, and start thinking in a way that starts to put a stop to it and goes the opposite direction towards some forms of coalition, alliance and solidarity to build serious momentum in a way that makes sense to the working class. And that means moving from there to step two, which is to find 5 or 10 others who agree and to work out a conscious plan that will eventually culminate in a national conference or convention of the socialist left. And that can start from within that group of 5 or 10 with a bigger gathering at some form of local level, which might be suburban or city or regional, that gets people working together across their different orientations, socialist orientations, and practicing coalition type activity, and deliberately heading towards creating a bigger event.
So you're saying be very mindful, but have the notion right in front of you and just continually moving towards it.
And when you're in a particular meeting, never stay silent about the requirement to break out of fragmentation. Never. Always argue for that next step, big, small, or in between, that takes us to common gatherings, conferences, meetings, and so on that are all about driving towards that national convention at some time in the future.
And if you're going to use a football analogy, play to win.
Beg your pardon?
And if you're going to use a football analogy, play to win.
Yes, of course. Because we must. Otherwise, you know, it is going to be more barbarism. It's going to get more intense. And because people actually believe in it, they believe in being violent and inflicting violence upon people and see that as part of their political process. And that's not state actors, but also, of course, political formations in the alt-right.
Yeah.
But we must look at ourselves. Our own practice is full of potential. There's plenty of potential there, but it is also utterly inadequate in building momentum to realise it. And therefore, building momentum must be not just an organic process. There will be organic opportunities that arise out of an event or an action or a thought or whatever. But it must also become deliberative, in which we deliberately intend to take forms of action that break from fragmentation and break towards coalition building and a common pursuit of socialist momentum. And that means we are defining socialism in the present, not just as something that we look at as desirable in the future.
Well, we'll have to leave it there.
The present takes us to the future.
Yeah, that's a good way to finish, actually. Thank you very much for this analysis. I think it's extremely timely.
I think it is too. If I don't want to put big notes on myself, but anyone who wants to join in on that should and drive it along in some form or another. And there are various opportunities coming up to do so. Let's break the fragmentation apart and replace it with all the different possibilities of unification that lie in the potential that's there.
Thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
All the best to everybody. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks, I hope.
Yep.